Hey guys, this is Richard from the band Broomfiller, and you're listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. What's the story this week? Am I fucking your woman?
Step back from where we started. When we say that it's all a game, the Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. BillDeCine.com/radio, RootaRooRadio.com, AltRockRadio.ca, across the border into Canada. And then across the pond, we have XRPRadio.co.uk, and I got them all that time. This is episode number 482. With me tonight are some of the members of Inco Fido. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Bill?
See, that was planned. You do have cue cards.
Some of them will still work.
Who is holding up the applause?
We wanted to be energetic.
So those of you that are tuned in, we've actually been talking for like 30 minutes already. So this is going to be a fun one, I think.
We have nothing left to talk about.
Yeah, that better not be how this goes.
Wildly entertaining.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a brand new question right off the bat. Actually, it's going to be the second question. I have to do the default every radio interviewer question that they ask. Where did Inco Fido come from? Where's the name come from?
Scott. Yeah, so there was a train bridge that went over the street that I used to live on, and spray painted in big white letters on this train bridge was Inco Fido, and I have no idea what it means. So, I don't know. I liked the way it sounded. And, so when we got this project started, I said, I want to call it Inco Fido. And, yeah, we did. So that's pretty much the long and short of it.
Actually, if you Google Inco Fido, they're not NASA space terms, but, you can hear them. If you watch Apollo 13, they say Inco and Fido.
They do.
True.
They do.
True that.
Apparently the information control officer, I think is what it's called.
Right.
They call me Inco, and then the flight directions officer, they call the Fido in NASA. So the two terms are there in NASA terminology, but that's just a coincidence.
Is it?
Well, maybe there's no such thing as coincidence.
I'm looking at your website, and I'm going to have another question based on it, but later. I already said that I'm going to ask the new one.
Bring it.
So
I'm ready.
Lay it on me.
So you can pick one album that you've already heard to erase completely from your memory and listen to it for the first time again, which album would you do that with?
Wow. I got one.
Interesting.
Go ahead, Tim, because I'm still thinking.
Yeah, so the idea is, you know, the one that really, like, hits you hard, and you're like, this is awesome, and you want to have that feeling again.
Filter Short Bus. I got that. My brother had that CD, and I didn't know what it was because it looked cool. And I popped it in, and it blew my mind because I've never heard anything like that ever in my life. And it was so hard and raw and scary. And me being like in, you know, middle school for the first time hearing that, it was something to be seen. And that CD stayed with my catalog for years and years and years. So I lost it. Then I bought it again, and then I lost that copy too. So maybe I should go buy it. Listen to it again.
And everyone else is going, you didn't talk long enough.
All right, I got it. It's probably going to sound weird, but Weezer's Blue album. I got my copy of Windows 95 with the Fonz video in Weezer. Let that baby roll. Front to back, those 10 songs were the greatest 10 songs I knew in 1994 or 5, whenever that album came out. It's amazing. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I'm going to go for something completely different. So AJ and I, we recently got like a record player from my dad and a bunch of their records. And one of the records was Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. So, if you think about it, what, The Exorcist soundtrack? But might like the one
there.
Okay, but like the first time I heard like the first side of the one record was like, I don't know if I was like on something, but it was just like super intense, and like I can't get that feeling back again. So that would probably be mine, at least the one side. But it's also super weird because it's like the organ, and then it just starts playing it, and then it's like the xylophone, the glockenspiel. So it goes through like a bunch of different records or a bunch of different instruments through the album, but it's a good one.
It announces the instrument before they play it?
Yes.
Sounds like an elementary school like training.
That's exactly what
class
I was thinking.
For music.
Would you like to play?
Yeah.
A piano.
Just straight recorder. B-A-G.
I recently tried to play the recorder. It didn't go so well.
Never does.
Well, you know, I was like, you know what? I could play that when I was in fourth grade. Let me see that. Take this back.
Yep.
Hot cross buns.
That's what I tried to play. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
did everyone answer that?
We're waiting on Chuck.
Yup, Chuck.
Oh man, I don't know. Like,
I tell you what, Chuck, I will give you like 30 more seconds, and I'll tell you what mine is.
All right. Well,
no, I mean, I'll tell you mine now while you're thinking.
Go.
Okay. So mine is a local band, and it kind of goes along with the history of the rock show. On that first episode that I told you will be, well, we're a week later, but it was September 14th, 2004. It was kind of, it just happened. There was a radio station that played only unsigned music, just like Bill DeSeen does. And the guy who was 14 at the time was having problems with his computer. And he's like, I need to take my computer down, but I want to take the station down. And I was like, well, just show me how and I'll do it. And after I said that, I was like, you idiot, you don't even have a microphone. So I was designing websites at the time. And I'm like, I'm going to call Brian, who's the lead singer of the band Cage. So I call him like, hey, Brian, do you have a microphone that'll plug into my laptop? And he's like, yeah. And he lived in Katanning and I lived in Leechburg. So it's like a half hour. I was like, can you get here in 20 minutes? So Brian shows up with the microphone, and that was the first Pennsylvania rock show. And the album is Cage's album from 2005. It was called Bombs. I had no idea who, now look at me blanking. See, this is what I was talking about where I edit things out. Man in the Box, The Rooster,
Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains. Thank you. Really had no idea who they were. That just wasn't really my thing at the time. Notice I said at the time, I love that band.
Oh man, that band is
Cage
just...
Cage sounds a lot like Alice in Chains. So that album was the one I'd want to listen to again. It's Cage Bombs. And if you're going to try and look it up, it's a parenthesis, K-A-J parenthesis, like the special spelling of the word cage. See, there I am going to teacher mode for a second. special spelling? What's he talking about?
I would have never guessed.
That's when you're in a dictionary, and beside the word, it has the parentheses, and it tells you how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Special spelling.
The
anyway,
more you know.
So, Cage Bombs. There's some acoustic songs on there. There's some. There's a song about a worm. It really isn't. They'll laugh when they hear me say it.
Was it found in a bottle of tequila?
It's like a worm. And it's a metaphor, but he says worm, so it's his own fault. There's a song called The Alcohol Does the Talking.
I hear that.
Bombs. Focus Factor. Did I kill enough time, Chuck?
So anyway.
So the unfortunate thing is, since we're all in recording, so AJ is in the guest bedroom. And that's where, so I've hosted probably, I think it's only two bachelorette parties now at this point. And AJ is playing, what would you call that? Ring around the radio edit.
Wiener.
So.
Came through?
Yes. So AJ sent a picture to us. And it's just like of this radio edit.
Wiener.
With like.
Yes.
You do know that I now do have to bring the beeper.
Now we gotta edit.
I was hoping we'd get a beep.
I listened to the Rocky Dennis face episode. There was quite a few beeps in that one.
Now I have to remember how to do it.
I'll do it. You can copy and paste that, right? Paste it.
So, Chuck, did you have an answer?
I feel like my answer pales in comparison to what just happened.
And Bill, so you don't feel left out, sending it into the Skype meeting as well, so you can see the awesomeness as well.
Dear God, we just met this guy.
It said that the message failed.
I see it.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the last time Inco's Vita will ever be on the PA Rock Show.
You want to try one of those odd, hard ones that you think you're ready for? Which sounds terrible after you sent me that picture. No, we're going to go with this one. Tell me about an embarrassing moment that one of the other band members had on stage. So, Hannah, you have to tell me about somebody else. You can't tell me about your embarrassing moment, just to clarify that.
Okay.
I think it all goes back to that one show.
It does.
Yes.
We all embarrassed each other that night, I think.
We weren't really us, though, because we were pictured as Mustard Plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So show. The flyer for the show had our name on the flyer and the picture of the band that was supposed to be us. It was Mustard Plug. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're a ska band, like a punk ska band from Michigan.
And I feel okay saying no now that you said Michigan.
Yeah, and we had played with them maybe a couple weeks before we did that gig, and the flyer was like a picture of them, and then it had their name at the top, and then it had our name at the bottom. So they cut the picture out of that flyer and put it on their flyer. So the picture on the flyer, it said Inco Fido, but the picture was actually of Mustard Plug. And
so what you're telling me was it was foreshadowing.
Yeah, it was. So
it was also missing like three members.
Right, yeah. So we go to start this show. It was down at Fright Farm. Rich's Fright Farm. It's like a big haunted house thing. It's down by like Union Town. And
get it right. It's okay. Fright Flam.
Fright Flam. Yeah. So they had a stage set up, and there was always a long line to get into the haunted house. So they would have bands play to entertain the people that were waiting in line. And then there was like a VIP section where people got like little parking spaces and like campfires and like tailgate before they went into the haunted house. It was like a big thing. You know, they had a good thing going on down there. And then we showed up. So we go to start our set. Like Tim over here, our drummer, first song goes to Quick
Off. You found on the street on your way there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. We found around the corner on the way to the show. We get down there, he clicks into the first song, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we all start playing, but he doesn't. He clicks it in, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then just sits there. So, a couple bars into the song, we turn around and like, do this again? So he clicked it again. We got through a few songs. And so I went to talk, about like halfway through the set or whatever, the guy who sets up the show, he goes, make sure you talk to the people in the VIP section, talk to them, get them involved, because like the way it was set up, they couldn't really see us very well, but they could hear us, So like, all right, guys, we're Inco Fido. You guys ready to hear another song? How you guys doing over in the VIP section? You guys want to hear another song? And we just hear this loud roar out of the VIP section. No! Like, well, we're here for another 45 minutes, so you're getting one anyway.
Click, click, click.
Nothing. Click, click. And then we all start, Tim doesn't. Yeah, so... They all embarrass us all.
Yeah, I had to block that one out of my memory for a little while.
Let's see. Can I ask another oddball question?
They're my favorite. Yes,
you may. I approve.
I hate hearing my voice. Which is why I play trumpet.
That's what my son plays.
It's a good instrument.
Sorry to hear that.
He might be at the same level as AJ.
That's quite accurate. Does he write everything out in binary?
Not yet, but I think that's something that he could do eventually.
If he reads in ones and zeros, then he's in.
That's not battery. That's not binary. There's twos and threes.
Hannah goes, what's the first note of this song? I go, I don't know, two? Push the second vowel?
It doesn't help me. I play saxophone. Okay. We have more than three.
And then she goes, well, what note is it? I go, F sharp, B natural, high F sharp, E flat. I don't know. I just pushed the second one. How can he have eight notes with only three vowels?
There's a glimpse into our writing process right there.
Well, that's perfect, because I am going to ask about that, so we'll just segue into that right now. So, why don't you tell me a little bit about your writing process?
That was
a great segue.
Yeah, I guess this is one for me, huh?
Yeah, you write everything.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah. Yeah, I pretty much, so I write all the music, and arrange the horn parts. That's how things start, but like, I don't know. I don't really like taking all the credit for the writing, because I kind of bring them like a list of ingredients. You know what I mean? And we make a meal out of it.
A little bit of trumpet, a little bit of saxophone, sprinkle in some berry sax.
Right.
Maybe some frosting Eagle of Altos.
Yeah, like I'll bring them an idea. Like, here's the basic chord progression. Here's the horn line I want, and then we just start playing.
And press two, then three.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Like two, and then three. AJ's like, I think I want a one here. I'm like, all right, give it a try.
AJ, what's like, B flat? Because you always want to play B flat. So AJ always wants a one.
I always want a one. And then we learned a song that had a lot of B flats, and it was awful. Hated it.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I guess I kind of write the music, but by the time we're done with it, being there's 10 of us, there's a lot of different influence on it. So by the time it's done, it's always a little bit different than where it started. Tim will have an idea for a drum beat, or Hannah will have an idea. Let's harmonize this between the horns this way or that way, and it just kind of goes from there. I never wanted to be like one of those like tyrant type of songwriters where it's like, you play this here, you play this here, you do this, you do that. Like, we got this big group of people that come from all different backgrounds in the musical world. And I want to play with all of them. I want to get a little bit of that flavor from everybody into the music. So I kind of bring like a skeleton of a song to the band, and then I rely on everybody else to like fill it out.
So it's kind of like the structure of my show.
Yeah.
We see where it goes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Perfect.
So how about, why don't you tell me about the song 876 and we'll listen to it and take a short break and then come back and have some more fun.
Okay. Yeah. Man,
I even warned you ahead of time.
I know you did, man, but like in the two you picked too, I was like, there's not really an easy one, you know? Like,
well, in my defense, those are the two you sent.
It is, right. I know.
We didn't have a note card for either of those, so.
Like, I gave you a 15-minute warning.
Like a lot of, yeah. And we talked about this, and now I'm totally blanking on it, so.
I just learned what the song was about 15 minutes ago, so.
Yeah, cause it's real vague like that, you know? Like, I like to, like, our music, like, most of our music's, like, really, like, you know, up-tempo, upbeat, dancey kind of feeling stuff. You know, there's 10 of us. You know, we got the right. Bass, the guitar, the drums, the keyboard, a four-piece horn section, a percussionist, you know, like.
Okay, so we're going to listen to 876 and we'll be right back with Inco Fido. That was 876 by Inco Fido. I am going to try and pull this together. Here we go. So if you were going to go back in time and have deja vu over something, this is like take three, just to clue everybody in. if you were going to go back in time and time travel. Now, the first question that I'm going to ask you for the third time is, if I was flipping through my social studies book and I found a picture of Inco Fido in the book, what would that section of the book be about?
I think it's still bad life decisions.
Or how to start a band for dummies.
We are a bunch of dummies. We got a review of a show we played one time that said you guys would be pretty good if you practiced. So. You guys remember
Did somebody really do that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we got that one, and we got one time we got, if I was going to start a band, I'd be just like you guys, because I don't have any talent either.
Oh.
And somehow that was supposed to be a compliment.
So,
boy, I'm really talking us up.
I think I'm going to try a different question. What is one thing that you like about the music scene and one thing that you would absolutely change because you hate it?
Mm. Wow.
I personally like the people. I think the people in the music scene are awesome.
Yeah, it's a great crowd. It really is.
Yeah, the other bands that are out there, the promoters, they're all great and they're all supportive.
Yeah, really. This has been the best it's ever been, I think. You know, I've been around for, man, I started playing shows in 1996, 1997 around Pittsburgh. And I honestly think it's the best it's ever been. Everybody's so supportive, and there's a lot of great music in the city right now. The thing I think I would say I would like to improve upon would maybe be communication between everybody, because like there's always so much going on, and a lot of us end up like inadvertently competing against one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's like a lot of shows going on at the same time on the same night in the same area, and so it ends up there's a lot of people coming out to the shows, but there's not a lot of people with any one particular show because there's just so much going on. So I kind of think sometimes that if we communicated within the group more cohesively, then we could kind of stagger things a little bit, and then we'd have something really big, something really good here.
I've had that conversation on here, sort of that conversation. A big problem with like being in Pittsburgh itself is that there's so many bars within walking distance of each other. Mm. So, you know, if each of those bars is booking three bands, you know, there's not, you know, it's hard to bring people in when they're at a different show. And
right.
Whereas where I live, where there's a bar maybe every, I think there's two bars. Let me think. One, two. Yeah, there's two bars. Unless you count the Leechburg Moose and the VFW, then there's four. But in Leechburg as a whole. Whereas, you know, the south side, they're next to each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I live in Dormont, and like the main drag that goes through Dormont is like 3/4 of a mile long. And I think there's, what, 13, 14 bars?
No, try like somewhere up around like 20 liquor licenses in Dormont. And
yeah,
the neighborhood itself is 1 square mile-ish. And the main drag, you can start at one end and you'll be falling over pissed drunk at the other. But the beauty of it is you can just walk home because it's only a mile.
Yeah, everything's in crawling distance.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, if you leave your car in the parking lot of said bar, I don't know, let's use don't want to name drop here, but Slapshots is a good one. You know,
I lost my car at Slapshots one
day. Yeah, we all have, you know?
Yeah. I live two blocks from Slapshots. I woke up the next morning like, where is my car?
With the doors open.
And it was because I was coming home from the city, and I passed Slapshots before my house, so I just stopped there and drank for a while and then crawled home and woke up the next morning. I had no idea where my car was. It took me 2 days to find my car. Luckily, my wife was out of town. She was in Virginia visiting her family and for the weekend, and I lost the car for the weekend, and she never knew because
until now.
I found it before she came back. And I just ratted myself out.
It's okay.
She's going to hear this. She's going to listen. Oh, no.
It's in the past.
Man. I love you, Missy.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Bill. No.
I'm trying to think what question I can ask. Wow.
Hey, man, I don't know if you've read our bio, but it says there's a lot of us, we're loud, and we like to drink. So this is nothing out of the ordinary. Like we said before, what you're hearing now is completely normal.
Hey, we're going to go with this one. If there was one thing that you could tell a potential fan about your band, what would it be? I want you to know that I winced after I asked the question.
Oh, man.
There's okay, a ask it again.
It's a good thing I have until next Thursday to edit this.
That's why I wanted to get us in early, man. Like, really. I figured it would end up like this. And, yeah, I'm sorry. Do you want to ask that question again? And I'll not.
Which one?
Either.
No, not the first one, because it's going to be the same answer. I don't know how to phrase that.
Okay, it's the second one.
Let me ask a different question.
Okay.
I am running out of questions, though. Let's see here. If you could open for any internationally touring band, who would it be, and what venue would you want to play at? Twist that one. I know, I shouldn't have challenged you.
That.
All right, does era matter?
No.
Like theoretically, say 80s or 50s or 90s.
Here. I have a question that will play perfectly with that, and I will ask it next. But, no, it doesn't matter.
All right, go ahead, Tim. You seem like you're riffing on this.
Any band we could open for, right?
Correct. And where?
And where?
Yep.
Oh, man. I'd say, like, the 1980s Chili Peppers. With like Jack Irons and Hillel. What's his name? Hillel Slivek. The old lineup for the Chili Peppers back in the day when they're playing out in California. I don't know what venue, but that funky kind of punk rock vibe that they have has always been something that stuck with me. So I would love to open for them and be part of that experience. If we had to pick a venue for the bands to play in, geez, I don't know. Feel big? Like, I'm going to have to say Royal Albert Hall. It's just because it's such a huge, well-known venue. And maybe
we would fit on that stage.
Oh, yeah, we fit on that stage. I mean, sort of.
All right, so here's the other question. If you could go back in time and spend 1 hour, 1 year following any band around to learn from and bring back to your current time and use what you learned to help Inco Fido, which band would you follow around?
Here Come the Mummies.
That was fast.
Fantastic. All right. Here's the deal. Here's the deal with that. Have you ever heard of Here Come the Mummies?
I have not.
So they're like an 8 to 10 piece funk band from Nashville who dress like mummies. They travel, all over, but they're some of the best. Yeah, they are. That's the problem, is we wouldn't necessarily be going back in time, but you just have to look them up. It's just one of the greatest things ever.
Their stage show is just so fantastic, yeah. And they really put on a great show.
And not to mention that they are nameless and faceless because they're in costumes and nobody knows who they are. So they could be studio musicians, they could be straight up headline musicians, nobody knows who the hell they are.
they could be even Inco Fido.
Well, there are 10 of you.
This is true. Have you ever seen Inco Fido and Here Come the Mummies in the same place?
I don't know. No. I've never seen Here Come the Mummies.
Not for lack of trying.
Okay. Let's see. I feel like I should set you guys off again. But
do you really want that? We've been on the call for 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 41 seconds.
At this point,
we got all night.
Do it.
Here's what we're going to do.
Full moon actually shows up.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Full fridge of beer.
I'm going to ask you the final question. You guys can answer it, and then I'll make sure to record it. And if it didn't, then we'll do it again.
Oh, boy.
Not like we had enough that before.
Okay. So, where can my listeners get a copy of Inco Fido's music from?
This again.
Yeah,
IncoFido.com. IncoFido.com. We have your CD. Just links to Instagram, to Twitter. Fun stuff. You can find your Google up on Apple Music. Your call is important to us. Please hold.
What? We're also on all major streaming services.
Spotify. Wait. Here's the funny thing about that. So as you were reading it, you were breaking up, and then you said,
"Yes."
Please hold.
Right, sorry. Go ahead. On all the major streaming services.
Yeah, all the major streaming services: Google, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you find your music, we're on it.
And we have CDs for sale, too. If you see us at a live show, come talk to us afterwards.
And we will mail out copies of CDs wherever you need to be. Just look us up online. So shoot us an email. Do what you got to do. We'll send you a copy of our CD.
IncoFido.com. IncoFido@gmail.com. IncoFido on Bandcamp. All the major streaming platforms that were mentioned before. Yeah. We're around. Come talk to us.
Hey, I have another question, and then we're gonna go and hope it worked. So I'm scrolling through your website, and I get to the musician section, and now I need to know where all the names came from.
Do you have another hour?
I'm so glad I asked these.
C-Note and Jeremy, which is his real name, Maxwell Line, and myself, Smooth the Groove. We all used to play music together for years on end. We didn't gig or nothing, but we all came together in this group with Inco Fido.
My band and is big.
That's true.
Your band is now part of my band.
It is. It's very true.
Is this like the Borg?
It is.
Yeah.
Who will be it assimilated?
Kind of like the Borg, but it's Dave.
Dave.
Well, so
Chuck, cheeky bastard.
So Chuck, Hannah, and I, we're all in a previous band. We split up. Chuck wanted to start another band. He goes, I need a drummer. I said, Tim plays drums. He works at a beer store. Let's go buy beer.
I drink beer. Let's go find Tim.
Yep. So those guys were coming down to buy beer, looking for me when I was working, but they caught me not there probably about 5 times, and I got word from my coworkers like, hey, there's this guy and this other dude coming down here. They got beers and glasses looking for you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Whatever. I'm working a Sunday shift around like football season, and here come walking in Chuck and AJ with Hannah. I was like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like, hey, you want to start a band? I'm like, hell yeah. They're like, we need a bass player. I'm like, I got one. But like, all we need is a guitarist. I'm like, hold on. And C Note was living in South Carolina at the time. Down there for work. He was just, you know, young dude filling out the waters. And he ended up coming back, what, like 2 days before our first gig, right?
It was the day of our first live gig.
Right. We were sending him tracks to record in his little closet in his apartment in South Carolina. And our first little EP that we did was all done in-house by Max Philine. And in his house over in Castle Shannon, or that would have been Overbrook, Carrick area. And we used to go over there, meet up and jam. And, you know, kind of just snowballed from there. Once C Nuke came back, we pretty much put it all together. And, you know, it's been up ever since. We've been a group. We've been growing, and it's been a big thing, you know. Been a lot of fun. If anything, it's been fun. F-U-N, fun. I swear to God.
I would have never guessed.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say that we are done, and I'm going to real quick... This is great. I'm leaving this in here, too. I'm going to read off the upcoming shows. I'm going to thank you for being on. I'm giving you directions during the show. Then I'm going to stop recording, and it's going to actually have recorded all of us.
Hopefully. See, fingers crossed.
I'm giving it directions, too.
Weird.
Okay, so next week on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, it's Gunpowder and Lilac. On October 4th, it's Kelber. On October 11th, Fish. Messed that up. Fear of Fish Studios. On October 18th, Megan. October 25th, Samantha Sears. November 1st, Adam Fitz. November 8th, Animus. 15th, Skies of Terra. 22nd, out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Mr. Lisp. On the 29th, The Rust Project. December 6th, Scarlet Sky. And as of yesterday, which is really a week later because, you know, well, it may be 2 weeks later at this point because we may be continuing this. I have added the Shadow event for December
5th. Yes!
Woo!
Familiar with them, are you?
Shadow event. We are. Oh, yeah.
So my friend Jonna from First Angel Media asked them how they would describe their music. And I'm not sure that they still know how to describe their music from what she told me.
Yeah. No, they're wonderful.
So... I may not ask that question, probably. But, okay. So, I want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And I'm sorry that it took 3 hours to get 20 minutes.
Well, we'll see what happens. So, this has been episode number 482 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Take 600. We may be right back. I'm not sure. Make sure you check us out each and every week at PARockShow.com.
A while you were drinking, when Just wasn't